and the son that had taken their daughter and had defiled her. And so she was wondering, why did the boys jump in there when Jacob was talking with the father, and the father was saying, "Hey, give me, I give you a diary." And then the boys jumped in there and said, "No, we want you to do this." Really, them boys were setting them up for revenge. So, and Jacob, it kind of the clue to that whole text is when you read back further up in the when Jacob finds out, Jacob should have did something right then, but it said Jacob held his peace until his sons came in. Then when the boys got in there, then them boys kind of took over, and they just took over the proceeding. But then Jacob, now at the end, after they did what they did, then he got mad at him. He's like, "You done made me a stench in this area for what y'all did, killing them folks." So, but that's an interesting story. Today we want to look at this journey, and we want to highlight some things from the life of Abraham as we look at this journey, and then we'll see some things. We're going to pick out some things. I know y'all studying Abraham on Sunday morning, but we want to see some things about faith as we look at Abraham. We want to look at, as faith, we look and see on this journey. If your journey is like mine's and like everyone's, we don't always know where we're heading in life. You get stuck by roadblocks, and along the way, there are some surprise accidents that happen on life, some rest stops, some wondrous scenery, and then there's some wrong turns that happen to us in life. And if your journey is like that, you need faith to keep going and keep yourself going. And faith is knowing the unknowable, being certain in uncertainty, seeing what can't be seen, and sure about what you hope for in life. The Bible defines faith as we look at Hebrews 11 and 1. One rendering of it is, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and the certainty of what we do not see." Or faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And these are elements in our life's journey as we go through faith, as God takes us. Has God ever thrown you some curves in your life? Has he ever sprung a pop quiz on you? Sent you into a scary territory, taken away your map, asked you to do something that may be audacious or foolish to everyone else? As we look here, we're going to see some things, and we see some points in the life of Abraham on the faith journey. We ask a question: on your journey of faith, are you due for a faith lift? People go out there and get a faith lift, but do you need a faith lift? You need your faith lifted up a little bit. But we're going to see some points, and these are the three points we're going to make. We're going to see that faith needs security, that fear needs security, but faith takes risk. Fear needs security. When you're afraid, you need security. You need things you can hold on, but faith takes risk. We want to see that worry wants predictability. When you worry, it's because what? Things are unpredictable, and so you want predictability, but faith loves hope. And then last of all, self-reliance holds tight, but faith lets go. And those are the three points we want to make. First of all, faith needs fear needs security, but faith takes risk. Look at Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, real quickly. I'm going to hit just some highlights here. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Genesis 12. "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." We see here, God said to Abram, leave your country. He said, leave your people, leave your family, and go into a place I will show you. Where, you ask? Oh, don't worry about that. You don't need to know that. Just start walking. You don't need to know that. You don't need to know where you're going. The Lord just told Abraham, just start walking, and I will tell you when to stop. When does God, sometimes God tell us to start walking, and then he'll tell us when to stop. Sometimes, Greg, God wants us to just start walking. We're hesitant to get going. God, where you lead me? Where you take me? We want to know it all. We want to know, God, where you lead me? Where you taking me? And what's going to be on the way? And what I'm going to see? And God just says, walk. Just step out on faith. Just walk. I'm with you. I'll tell you when to stop. And I'll be with you along the way. But see, fear wants security. We want security. Here's some truths that we can glean about faith from this episode in Abraham's life. The strongest faith develops when faith is placed in something strong. You got to put your faith in something strong. Can you put it in you? Don't put your faith in you. Can you put it in other people? No, that would be misdirected. Don't put your faith in other people. Can you put it in things, Brother Greg? I wouldn't put it in things because what? Things break down. Things fail. Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 6, placing our treasures in unsearchable riches. We're talking about that on Wednesday night with Brother Mike Brandt, putting it in undurable riches. Because Jesus said, don't place your treasures down here on the earth because what? Things that you have is going to rust. It's going to corrupt. Moth's going to rust. Your clothes are going to eventually get eaten up. Do you know that in the, this is a miraculous thing. In the desert, them folks walk 40 years with the same clothes on. Why? Because God made it so their clothes wouldn't tear up and their clothes wouldn't corrupt. But you try to go 40 years with the same outfit. First of all, you're not going to fit them after 40 years. And they're going to corrupt. They're going to eventually seams tear. You can go get a brand new set of clothes off the rack and the button fall off it the week after. Because when they barely, I don't know why, Brother Greg, when they put these men's suits together, they put them on there and they're like, but you wear them two times and the button's always loose. We're like, why you make a suit and the button's already loose or seams? Because things are not perfect in life. So things, so we can't put our faith in the things, but place your faith in God's promises. You want to put your faith in something strong, you can put them in God's promises and they will last you. The journey of faith often doesn't have a map and it may not even have a clear destination. It takes faith to take risks. It takes faith not to be the one in control. Well, don't we know that? Don't a lot of us, we like to be in control of situations. We like to know where we're going, see where we're going, know we're in control. And I know this because my wife don't like to drive with me. She likes to be in control. Stop, hold it. Don't go too fast. You're going too slow. Speed up, keep up. She likes to be in control. We can laugh about this. We laugh about this. I just know it. I've been with her for 30 some years, so I just know it. You seem like you're just too close. I'm on this side of the line, but from where I'm sitting, it looks like you're too close. That's because that's where you're sitting. Where I'm sitting, I can see the line. You can't see the line. But it just seemed like you're just so close to the, okay. I just smile and drive, Greg. Smile and drive. Brother Mahone, don't fight it. Smile and drive. Smile and drive. Just, okay. Because we like to be in control. Faith takes us to take risks. It takes faith not to be the one in control. Even in relationships, we like to be in control, and we got to have faith not to be in. When our relationship with God, it takes faith not to be the one in control. How many of us let God just say, we say that, let go and let God. How many of us really do it? You might do it in some things, but I guarantee you there's some you hold on to that you ain't let God have. There's something you got in your back pocket you ain't turned over to him yet. So we said, yeah, just let go, child, let God. Do it. Do it. Totally just let go and let God. And see how, see if you can do it. It takes faith to keep going when you're lost. What makes you feel secure? It takes faith to stake your life on something you can't see and you can't prove. When you're trying to stand out in this world, and we're trying to stand on faith. We're trying to tell them about God. Some things that are not seen, but we know that they are sure. Peter said, we believe and we are sure. But you try to tell people that want evidence for everything. Like Brother Greg was preaching today. Show us a sign. Was that sign going to do anything? No, it ain't. No, it ain't. I was talking to somebody. I was having a conversation. They're like, can you give me the scriptures for this and that? And I'm like, yeah. I'm going to give you the scriptures for this and that, but I guarantee you the person that you're talking with, them scriptures are not going to satisfy them. Well, can you give me the scriptures that say we're supposed to sing? Yes, I can tell you some scriptures, but them scriptures are not going to convince that person that we're not supposed to use instrumental music. They're not going to convince them. They're not going to do it. I can give you some scriptures about baptism, but unless they have faith, them scriptures are not going to convince them. They're just some things. They're just some random because they're going to explain. Well, that's what you say. But that's how you interpret them. Well, there's a different way to interpret them. There's a different way to see. And they're going to come on and on. But it says without faith, it is impossible to please God. You got to have faith to believe in these scriptures. If you don't have faith, just showing somebody without faith some scriptures as some evidence is not going to convince them. It ain't never has. You can keep doing it over and over, but it doesn't convince them. I said, hold it. Don't do this. I said, don't quit showing them scriptures. You start talking to them about the Bible and start helping them to develop faith and start to know. Because number one, they don't know who God is. So we got to tell you the Bible story so you can begin to know how, what God is and how he's dealt with man and how he's dealing with man today. And then establish the fact that you lost and that you need a God. Now once I establish that, now you can start to come to some faith in something. Now these scriptures can start to take on some meaning. But it takes faith to stake your life on something you can't see or prove. Are you held back by your fears? Do you resist obeying God when it involves a risk or losing your security? Has God asked you to do something that seems crazy, unwise, foolish, or downright scary? Here's the faith lift verse that you need to step out on your comfort zone. Let's go to Joshua 1 through 9. Joshua 1 and verse 9. This is the faith lift scripture. Thank you, Brother Gray. This is the faith lift scripture you need. Joshua 1. Joshua 1. And we'll be there. We'll be reading through this shortly. Joshua 1 and verse 9. And it reads, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. This is what God told Joshua. Be strong and be of good courage. I'm going to be with you whatsoever I go. Another rendition, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Notice the reason that you can be courageous instead of afraid. Because when God asks you to obey, he gives you his presence wherever that obedience takes you. So when God asks you to do something, his presence is going to go with you. So no matter what you're doing while you're obeying him, his presence is going to be with you. So you can be strong. You can be courageous. You don't have to be afraid because God, his presence is going to be with you. What risk is God asking you to take? Overcome your fear of losing your security by placing your faith in God, who will stay with you no matter where your journey of faith takes you. So Abraham had to overcome his fears. This God that he did not know came to him and said, leave your countrymen and leave everything you know and go to a place that I'm going to show you. Now, guess what that conversation was like? And that's God talking to Abraham. But guess when Abraham had to go talk to Miss Sarah? Sarah, the Lord didn't ask me to. How did that conversation go, Greg? How you think that conversation went? Say what? How you think that conversation went when he had to go talk to his brothers and sisters and all them? Like, yeah, we finna pull up our stakes and go. Where we going? I don't know. Who told you? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, who is it? Well, it's a voice. Abraham. Everybody probably risk behind this, but Abraham crazy. Somebody. But he still had to get beyond his fear and go ahead and move and do what God tell him to do. Second thing we want to see that worry wants predictability, but faith loves hope. Let's look at Genesis 15 verses 1 through 6. Genesis 15 verses 1 through 6. Worry wants predictability. Genesis 15, 1 through 6. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offering be. Abraham believed the Lord and he credited to him as righteousness. Abraham and Sarah have been promised a son, but some years have gone by and elapsed since that promise was first made. We're in Genesis chapter 15 now. Now Abram is anxious. He's working out in his own mind, how can God make good on his promise? He's tired of waiting and worried that God may need some help with this one. How many of this is us? Some time has gone by. We've asked God for something. Some time has gone by. Time has lapsed, and we think we need to help God with his promises. God said, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. But some time has passed. Lord, I ain't seen it. Didn't we get like that as little kids? Our mamas would say, yeah, I'm going to get you this. I'm going to get you that, Brother Chris. And you couldn't wait. Mama, when you going to get that for me? When you going to get that for me? And some time goes by. And guess what? We don't neglect to remind her of what she promised us. I got a grandson. Don't ever promise him something because he will let you know that you promised him something. He will remind you, Papa, when we going? Papa, didn't you say we were going here? Papa, you don't tell kids stuff because they will make sure that you know that you reminded them of something. How many of us would sign up for this plan? That plan would feed into many of the fears most people have. What if walk away from your home that you've worked so hard to establish? What if Abraham said, Wendell, just walk away from your home. I want you to just leave your home that you worked so hard to establish. Abandon my career and the trappings that give me identity. What if God said, leave your career? Leave that career. Well, come on, I got something better for you. But we ask, well, what's my money situation going to be like? God said, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of you. But Lord, leave your career. Leave my family and my support structure where I feel secure. How many of us feel secure leaving our families? Leaving folks that we know and that we love and we cling to. God asked Abraham to do that. Let's go of what I built up on and fall back on someday. Let go of all that you built up, your 401k and all this stuff you got in the bank. Let go of all that. Start off on a cross-country trip with no map, no destination. And if it's okay, I can leave everything behind because this mystery place I'm going to will be a place of great blessing, and I can believe that because God says so. How many of you signed up for that plan? That's what Abraham was signing up for. Leave everything behind. Don't everything you work for in Haran and Ur of the Chaldees, leave it all behind. And I'm going to take you a place, but I'm not telling you where you're going. And when you get there, though, everything you need is going to be in that place. How many of us signing up for that plan today? Probably not many of us. But that's what Abraham had to do. If fear is an issue, if you tend to be crippled or held back by the unknown, if you need security and hate taking risks, if you miss opportunities because you're afraid of what might go wrong, then you need a faith lift. You need to have your faith lifted. When the writer to the Hebrews wanted to describe faith, he used Abraham as his prime example. He went through a whole list of Bible greats in Hebrews chapter 11, but it was on Abraham that he spent the most time, drawing out three examples from his life to demonstrate the essence of living by faith. This occasion in Abraham's life is his first example. Let's look at Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. The Hebrew writer says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as it is as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. The Hebrew writer said he went, although he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder was God. Abraham went, sojourned, even when he got to a foreign place, he lived in a tent. Now, Wendell, go home and tell Tina you and Paige living in a tent. See how that conversation go. Baby, we got to live in a tent. But didn't your God tell you we was going someplace? Yeah, but where's our house? Where's the house, Brother Greg? We got to live in a tent. They lived and dwelt in temporary buildings because they looked forward to a city. And the scripture says that the prophets of old, they did all of those things not knowing what it was going to look like on the other end. But they did and labored in their time period with faith, even though they could not see the fruition of all those things that were going to happen. Abraham went, and he had to live in a tent. If you remember, our original definition of faith is exactly what we see here play out in Abraham's story. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see in Hebrews 11, 1. Abraham was so sure about his hope in God that he obeyed, even though he did not know where he was going. Abraham was so certain of what he could not see that even while he lived in tents, he knew there that someday that God would build a city with foundations. Abraham lived in tents so that later on the Jews could have Jerusalem. Abraham lived in tents and sojourned in tents, but later on, God would build a city with our foundation, which would be Jerusalem, and the people would have that. Has God been silent about something that you've been wanting? Look at some greats and see how long they waited for something, and then you tell me if the time you're waiting for God to do something in your life is that significant. David waited 13 years to become the king. He had been anointed. Remember, he was anointed. Remember when Jesse came to his house? He was anointed then. While Saul was still on the throne, he had already been anointed. And that's what got Saul upset, because he knew that the young man was coming behind his back. He knew that the young man was coming up and that he had been anointed. And then when David started to do great things, that even made Saul vex him even more. But then, even after Saul is dead, he still got to wait. He still got to wait until he could vex everybody, because other people wanted to take over and wanted to go to Saul's next descendants. And so he had to wait. He was down in Hebron. And then finally, after all this fighting and all that stuff is secured, the brethren came down to him in Hebron and said, "We know that you're the true king. Come on back up and let's make you true king." But that's 13 years that David had to wait to become king. 2 Samuel 3:1, chapter 1, verse, and also chapter 5, verse 4. Has God been silent about your vindication? Okay, so you got some problems, you got some issues, and you got, "Lord, when are you going to deal with these folk? When are you going to deal with these issues, these people trying to get me?" Well, look at Noah. Noah had to endure ridicule for 100 years while he built a boat in a waterless land. It hadn't rained. He's building a boat, and people know they ain't never rain. Remember, at that time, water came up from the ground. They had never seen water fall from the sky. Never seen precipitation fall from the sky. And so you know what kind of ridicule he went through? Peter says what? In the days when the ark was a building, when as few as 8 souls were saved by water, he had to endure all that ridicule. Man, what you building? Y'all seen the movie Evan Almighty, which is kind of supposed to be a modern play on the Noah the Ark scene, and people just making fun of him. Man, why are you building this? Man, what you doing? Why are you building this, man? What are you building this? You know, what's that thing supposed to do? They probably even know what a boat was, Brother Maxwell. Anybody know what is a boat? What's a boat? And you talk about it's going, and then on top of that, not only is he working, but he's preaching. Y'all need to get ready. God's going to make it rain. It's going to rain. And man, you crazy, Noah. He did it for 100 years. He did it for 100 years before his event. Now the vindication comes when the water came down, and then people are like, hey, Noah, hey, you think we can get a seat? Noah like, man, I can't open the door. God's just shut this thing, and I can't even open the door. God shut this door, and I can't even let you in. Yeah, but now he got vindicated. So sometimes in life, we waiting for vindication for situations. We going through stuff and we waiting. You need a faith lift. Let God lift your faith. Be courageous and know that God will take care of it. Now, don't expect it may not happen in your lifetime. You may not see the vindication, but it will come one day. We know that in the judgment, God's going to reconcile all the books and going to deal with all the inequities, everything you've gone through in life, everybody that ever did you wrong. We know they're going to get God the judgment. We know that's coming. So you may see them. You may see God's hand move and take some people out the way or do some things, and you may not. But guess what? You just have to trust that what? God got it. He's got it. He'll take care of it. But a lot of times in our life, our faith is such, we want to see it. Man, I want to see the Lord get these folk. I want to see the Lord get it. And David prayed some prayers like that. We call them imprecatory prayers, where David prayed, "Lord, get them. Lord, my enemies, get my enemies. Lord, get them." And David prayed some prayers like that. But it's not for you and I to wait for those kind of things, because he said, "Vengeance is mine, said the Lord, I will repay." But Noah had to wait 100 years and endure ridicule while he built a boat in a waterless land. Has God been silent while you're waiting to be rescued? Let's look at Joseph. Joseph waited in a pit, and then he waited in prison. Joseph waited in a pit thinking that his brothers were going to kill him, and then they sold him. Then he got down there. Remember, he got in prison, and he told homeboy, he said, "Look, he gave him the dream. The dream came true. My man got delivered. The baker got his job back. And he forgot my boy down in prison." Joseph's still down there, still doing right, still laboring and doing right. And the man forgot him, forgot all clean about him. But guess what? A situation came around. All of a sudden, the king is vexed and got a dream. And guess what? My boy, all of a sudden, oh yeah, I remember I was in prison. There was a homeboy that, yeah, this man Joseph, man, y'all need to go get him, man. He told me my dreams and got my job back. We ain't got him. But look how long Joseph had to wait before he got out of jail. He waited in a pit. He waited in there. Did Joseph ever lose his faith? Didn't lose it. Didn't lose it. And now, let me pause right there as I just mentioned Joseph's name. If you cannot forgive anybody in this life, read Joseph's story. And if you can read the end of Genesis, when his brothers are there, the brothers that dogged him out, and Joseph said, y'all didn't do this. God sent me here. If you can do this and not wipe tears from your eyes, something wrong with you. If you need examples of reconciliation, I give you Joseph. I give you Jacob and Esau, two brothers. If you can't get past the issues you got with folk in this life, read Joseph and read Jacob. And then tell me you can't forgive somebody. And then if you can't get over them two, I give you Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now let's talk about some forgiveness. Now that's just a side note. That's free. We ain't there yet. But Joseph, he had to wait before he was rescued. Has God been silent about your medical condition, about your healing? Paul had to learn to live with his infirmity. In 2 Corinthians, he said, my grace is sufficient. Has God been silent about giving you children? Abraham and Sarah waited over 15 years for the promised son when they were old. And see, now it's interesting because people were living longer. They were living 600 years, 900 years. And Abraham even lived long 100 years. But even in Abraham's time, he knew that him and Sarah was too old to have kids at 100 or 90 and 80. They knew that they was past childbearing, even though they was living way into their 500 and 600 years. They even know that back in their time that, man, this is ridiculous. 100, 80, 90, am I going to have children? They even knew that that was pushing the limits of human capacity at that time. But yet they waited. So if your world has lost all predictability, if God is silent right now and you don't know how to hope or how to behave or how to have faith, then here's some verses for you. These are faith lift verses for warriors. If you're a warrior, you need these verses. First is Ecclesiastes 3 and 11. It's written up on the board there, Ecclesiastes 3 and 11. And it just simply says, God makes everything happen at the right time. Now, the world says, you know, God moves in mysterious ways. That's not in the Bible. Well, you know, God moves at his own time. This is what they're trying to tell you. This is Ecclesiastes 3. God makes everything happen when? At the right time. The right time for you or the right time for him? The right time for him. Matthew chapter 6 and 34. Brother Greg was there today. So do not worry about tomorrow. It will have enough worries of its own. The day, what does it say? Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. So the day has its own worries. There is no need to add to the troubles. You know, each day brings its own troubles. You don't have to add to it by worrying and stacking it. The day is fraught with its own dangers, its own worries. So you don't have to add to it by worrying. As if you're a worrier, these scriptures for you. And in case you're like Sarah, who would have said to Abraham, don't just stand there, do something. Remember Sarah? When she got concerned about the promise, like, man, you know, is this promise going to happen? Is it going to happen? Abraham, why don't you just go on in there and take let nature take its course, going with Hagar, the handmaiden. So she would have said, don't just stand there, do something. Here's the verse for you. It says, don't just do something, stand there. Psalms 37 and 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret. So don't just stand there and do something. No, stand there and do nothing. Stand there. You need to stand there. Just don't do something, stand there. See, sometimes we do something and the something that we do it sets you further and further back. So sometimes you just need to just stand there and wait patiently for the Lord. Other scripture says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my calling. He took me out of the miry pit. That would be Isaiah. I waited patiently for the Lord. Application. Has God gone silent? Has your world lost all predictability? Instead of worrying about your future, turn your worry into hope, placing your faith in God who promises to make everything happen at the right time. As we saw in Ecclesiastes 3:11, everything will happen at the right time. Be patient. Don't fret. Wait on the Lord. Our last point, self-reliance holds on tight, but faith lets go. Genesis 22 and verses 1 through 14, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said, Abraham, here am I, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountains, and I will tell you about where to go and what to do. If you are a worrier, you can probably relate to how Abraham was feeling right about then. He had all the classic factors in place for a great worry session. God had been silent for years. The plans he had weren't working out the way he thought they would. Like, remember that whole fiasco, his plans when Sarah said, hey, go take her? How did that work out? You think y'all are in our time, we created the word baby mama drama. Y'all didn't create that. It was created back then. Because there was some baby mama drama between Hagar and Sarah. Soon as she let that woman go lay with her husband, she got mad because the woman was coming out like, I got Abraham's baby. What about you? And then the woman who's the wife got mad. And see, that lets you know in this time we do all this surrogate stuff. People go pay somebody to have a baby. And then when that person actually gets the baby, decide they don't want to give you the baby because they done gave life. They done had that baby and they done bonded with that baby. And then all of a sudden, just because you paid $1,000, you're supposed to just hand it over. We having babies like commodities, Brother Greg. And we're going against God's natural law. And it happened back then. The natural law is that she wasn't supposed to have that baby for Abraham. His wife was supposed to have it. And so when that interjection came in there, all kind of jealousies and stuff came out. That tells you right there you shouldn't do that kind of stuff. But God had been silent for years. Their plans weren't working out the way that they thought they would. The plan he had wasn't happening on his timetable. He didn't think his health would hold up long enough to see his dream come true. The first thing he said, you know, look at my physical age. But he said, you didn't realize you playing with God. This is God. God can make what he wants to happen, when he wants to happen, despite the issues or the conditions, he can make it happen. But Abraham didn't know that yet. Abraham's looking at his health. Well, my health is such, I'm not going to be able to bring forth no child. If you were in a stretch of years where your faith, where you didn't hear from God and nothing you thought was supposed to happen in your life was working out the way you hoped, and you were old enough to die any day, wouldn't you be worried? The less predictable life is, the more worriers worry. The more life is less predictable, people that are given to worrying, they worry even more. And even in this fact today, we got, don't we have issues out there that we could worry about? Do we have some issues out there? Yeah, we got some issues out there that we can work. If you were worrying, oh, you got plenty of issues you can worry about. Starting from who's going to be president down to this virus. There's plenty of stuff you can worry about out there if you want to be a worrier. But God very clearly restates his promise, gives Abraham a dramatic picture of what his future hope looked like. And there you see Abraham doing it again. Faith is being sure of what is hoped for and certain of what you do not see. In an act of faith, he lets go of his worry. He places his hope in what the Lord is promising him, even though he can't see how God is going to pull it off. Even though it's not predictable, as an act of faith, Abraham replaces his worry with hope when he takes his son to be sacrificed. The writer of Hebrews selects this second example of faith from Abraham's life. Look carefully at the reason he gives for why Abraham was eventually given a son. Hebrews 11, verses 11 and 12. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Abraham considered God faithful who had made the promise. And so from this old man, and as good as dead, came descendants of numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. So Abraham, who thought he was dead, came all these descendants because he considered God to be faithful. Abraham's faith was placed in the promise giver. In his worry, he was trying to predict what was going to happen to the promises now, that it looked like he was about to die and Eliezer of Damascus was going to inherit his estate. But he considered the one who had made the promise faithful, and God proved him right. So that's why we say, don't put your faith in stuff. Don't put it in people. Don't put it in yourself. Don't put it in other people. Put it in God. Put it in the promise giver. God had been silent for a while, and in God's silence, that worry tends to breed. But early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey, and he took with him of his two servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set off to a place God had told him about. He went out to offer his son. Abraham had a son named Isaac, which means laughter, because it was a joke that this old man would have a child. Remember when the angel came and he told Isaac, and Isaac was amazed, and Sarah was in the tent and she laughed. And they said, why did Sarah laugh? And she said, I did not laugh, Lord. Yes, you did laugh. And so Isaac was a joke. Abraham looks at him and thinks, that's my future. All the promises have been fulfilled through this child. Now we read the chilling words, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and offer him as a sacrifice in the place I will show you. We are told that God tested Abraham. Note that the reader is told this. Abraham is not. However, Abraham don't know it's a test. We know it's a test because we're reading it. However informed that this test is, 25 years ago, Abraham was asked to move, to be part of this part, to depart with this past. Now is God asking him to part with his future? His only son, the one that he had promised him? If you were asked to let go of the very thing of which you had staked your future on, would you let your fingers be pried open? Or would your self-reliance kick in and say, not that I need that. That's what I'm going to count on. I'm going to count on God's promises. Here's how the writer of Hebrews tells the story in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. And so Abraham trusted God by this point, knowing that even if he had killed Isaac, that God had the ability to raise him back from the dead, because God had promised that through Isaac and through his descendants that he would be blessed. And so Abraham moved by faith. Here's some more truths about faith that Abraham's story teaches us. Faith gets tested, and the tests don't get announced. It's like when I come to class, I announce, I usually tell my students, we're going to have a test. We're going to have a test this week. When you have in life, do we announce, does life announce you're going to have a test? Brother Maxwell, did you get a previous notice when life was going to give you a heart attack? You didn't get a notice? Did you get a notice that week say, this week you're going to have a heart attack, Brother Max? You didn't get no notice about that test. In fact, it surprised Brother Max, because we was there at the hospital with him. He said, man, I went in. And they said, the next day, we're going to operate. That test was a surprise. And so life don't give you a heads up when you're about to have a test. Abraham went ahead and went with this test. He didn't know that it was coming. He didn't know he was going to have a test. He didn't know that test was coming up, but yet and still, he was able to move by faith. And that he gave and went to offer his only son, even though he knew that this was going to be the future, even though that God said this was going to be a future. Faith in God cancels out faith in oneself. See, Abraham went through some times where he had faith in himself and not faith in God. Faith in oneself cancels out faith in God. If you have faith in yourself, it cancels out faith in God. When you have faith in God, it cancels out faith in yourself. And so, but we're hearing a lot of singing and a lot of songs again. Believe in yourself. Just believe in yourself. Trust in yourself. Believe in yourself. No, believe in God. Trust in God. Don't believe in yourself all the time. Believe in God. Trust in God. It takes faith to let go of what you normally rely on. It takes faith to give up what it took you a long time to obtain. It takes faith to believe in that miracle, especially with Isaac being the child that God had promised. Cross-reference for this is Matthew 19:26. With man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. In Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through him who gives me the strength. And also Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Has God called a pop quiz on your faith? Is your faith self, is your self-reliance kicking in? And you've got your vice grip holding on to the thing you think you have to make it? Are you placing more faith in yourself than in God? Slowly open your hand, back away from that thing you're depending on your bank account, on your job, on your title, your achievement, your award, your image. Release it to God and replace your faith in yourself with faith in God. Like Abraham, we are embarking on a journey of faith as we continue to read the Bible until for the next 12 weeks. We'll be reaching faith shores and getting faith lifts along the way. Unlike Abraham, we know the biblical destination, but we don't know what kind of life change God has in mind for us while we're on this journey. If God is speaking to us through this about making a change in our life, you can rest assured that those changes are going to take faith. Anything that God asks us to do, anything God asks us to achieve and accomplish is going to take faith. And I hope we will take some solace in the life of Abraham and help lift up our faith. Trust in God. Believe. Look at it. And so these examples that we're going to read about in the next coming weeks are there for our learning so that we can have through patience and comfort of the scripture that we might believe. All these things are there to help us to believe that God, like he took care of them, he'll take care of us. When he's asking us to stretch out on faith, he's asking us to give up stuff. He's asking us to trust in some things that we can't see. He's asking us to put some things that we trust in aside. We trust in these things in this world, but he's asking us to step out on those things. We can trust that God is going to be faithful. God's going to take care of us. We can trust that we're God's people. We can trust that God's going to vindicate us, that God's going to take care of us. He's going to make things right. He's going to provide for us. If we seek the kingdom first, we can have faith in all these things because we can see it in the life of Abraham. We can see it in the life of Noah. We're going to see it in the life of David. We're going to see Gideon and all these other great heroes that the Hall of Faith talks about. We'll read about them as we read through this story. And that's why we're reading the Bible, so that we can uplift our faith. That we can look at these people. They were people just like us. They were human. They were frail. They made mistakes. Did not Abraham tell plenty of lies? Abraham told lies. Abraham was deceitful. They did all the things that we do, but yet and still they're mentioned in the Hall of Faith. And we can look at their faith and we can learn from it. And that's what we're trying to do by reading the Bible, so we can learn from these great people. All this was written for our learning. And as we talk to people, somebody was asking me the other day, well, why don't we go by the Old Testament? Don't tell people we don't go by the Old Testament. Don't tell them that. We go by the whole Bible. The whole counsel of God is his written word. Now, if we want to know what we need to be saved, that's going to be found in the New Testament. Now, if we want to know how God dealt with man, that's going to be found in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. But we take the whole Bible. But quit telling folks, oh, we don't go by the Old Testament no more. We don't look. Yes, we do. It's all of God's word. It's all inspired. We live by every man should live by every word that proceeds out of my God. We take the whole Bible. But now when we talk to the proper question is, what's applicable to us today? Oh, that's found in the New Testament. That's applicable to us today. That's what we can apply to us today. Stuff in the Old Testament, we'll talk about that next week. All those sacrifices, all that blood, that's not applicable to us today because that promise was not made to us. It was made to another group of people. But we got some promises that was made to us. So that's what applies to us. So when people ask you, do we go by the Old Testament? Yeah, we go by the whole Bible. Now, if you want to know what's applicable to us today, what's applicable to us is found in the New Testament. What's applicable to those folks in that day was found in the Old Testament. So that's the right question. But do we go by the Bible? Yes, we do. The whole book. Because there's something in there for all of us. There's something in there we can get from the Old Testament because it points to Christ. And we can see the fulfillment in the New Testament. So we need the whole thing. If we only went by the New Testament, you're missing all the promises. You see the fulfillment, but you don't know when it was promised. So you need the whole Bible. You need from Genesis to Revelation to put them both together because one explains the other. Genesis through the Old Testament points forward to Christ. Revelation and all the other scriptures point back. So we need them both together because they all point to Christ. They all talk to us about God. So you need the whole Bible. And that's why we're reading it, so we can know God's word. Hope you have a faith lift today. Hope you will take these things. Hope you will not worry. Hope you will take your confidence and put your faith. If God has been silent, you feel like he's been silent, then Abraham and folks in the Bible had to deal with some times of silence. They had to wait for some vindication. They had to wait, but it all worked out. And so we know by their story, if it worked out for them, you can trust it's going to work out for you. So we invite you this afternoon, if you need an invitation anyway, if you accept the invitation, you need prayers, you need some strength so that you can uplift your faith, get a faith lift, trust in God's word, and believe that God will take care of you just like he took care of them, then you can come as we together stand and sing.